Katie Collins.
I'm Katie Collins.
Reporter of the Year.
Okay, we're just about to go and get into the Sea King. It's a massive helicopter here. It's going to fly us out and take us to our base camp for this evening.
Okay, guys, come over here. We'll sort you out with some kit. We've got some body armour and some helmets for you.
I'm King from Blundell, 26. I'm from Croxteth in Liverpool. Obviously a bit anxious, but the training's good, equipment's good, the lads are good.
You can see the aircraft on the helicopter landing site. That's the landing site which all the Category A and some Category B casualties come in. They're the people that require fairly urgent surgery.
This is Camp Bastion Hospital. It's considered to be one of the biggest and best field hospitals in the world.
This is Trauma Bay 1. This is where the most seriously injured will be brought into this bay. We are in Afghanistan. It is a conflict zone. You will see IED blast injuries, gunshot wounds.
This morning I got quite a sobering reminder really that we are in the middle of a war zone here in Afghanistan. And throughout most of the night we've been hearing a steady stream of helicopters flying overhead. We didn't really think too much about it. And then around 7 o'clock this morning we were woken up by an announcement on the tannoy. It was calling for all emergency doctors to make their way to the hospital here at Camp Bastion.
When a unit loses a soldier here, it's particularly painful for that particular unit. But when one soldier dies here, we've all lost something. Every single one of us have lost something, you know, a part of us that we all belong to.
It's like a bit of a wake-up call, actually. We lost a good friend of mine, so when it happened, it was kind of like, you couldn't really believe it was actually happening, you know. It took a while to sink in.
This is a Mastiff. It's the safest armoured vehicle there is. It's been fitted with brand new state-of-the-art equipment to find and dig out roadside bombs.
The bomb-proof, it's unbelievable. I mean, some of the ones that's been hit, they've been hit by pretty big ones, and they've come back in some states and they've been back out on the road 48 hours later.
I'm one of the first journalists to be shown this new Talisman range of equipment. It includes all kinds of cameras, reinforced armour, digging arms and robots.
Real news.
There are sobs from family members packed into the court here as the jury return their verdict, taking less than 3 hours to unanimously find Graham Heaps guilty of Francesca Bimpson's murder. The three-year-old suffered horrific 85-degree burns when Heaps poured petrol through the letterbox of their family home in Everton in a revenge attack following a bitter split from Francesca's aunt.
Francesca Bimpson was 3 years old when she was murdered. Graham Heaps poured petrol through the letterbox. He set fire to her home while she, her mum and dad, her brother and her two sisters were asleep in their beds.
The next thing I remember is the most suffocating black. Absolutely overpowering smoke. You couldn't breathe, you couldn't see. So I shook Elna. I think the house is on fire because you don't have that much smoke in your room without something seriously happening. And I seen this roaring inferno coming up the stairs, roaring, absolutely hottest, suffocating black smoke. Get the kids, the house is on fire. Elna's hysterical. She's got all of the babies stuck to the spot, rooted to the spot.
There will never be a fitting justice for our baby, Francesca Bimpson. Her life was cruelly and prematurely taken by a coward.
Francesca seemed to disappear from view and I was screaming up at the window, Francesca! Hysterical screaming. And everyone around me seemed to be in slow motion. No one was doing much. And Elna's, me baby, screaming all over the close. And the neighbours were hysterical. Me kids were hysterical. And the next minute, they bought what can only be described as the blackest, charred, cold remnant of me daughter out. Just totally lifeless. 85% burns. Destroyed my gorgeous little baby who had put in bed looking forward to Christmas.
Hi, my name is Melissa Linford. I am a tanorexic and I am addicted to sunbeds.
Skin deep.
20-year-old Melissa's been using tanning beds since she was 16.
I could never go out without having a nice tan, even false tan. I'd look ill. I really, really would look ill. Because I've got such pale skin, naturally, I'd look ill.
The hair, it's all about looking good for the weekend.
Hello, Melissa, the usual 12. Yes, please.
If I know I'm going out on the Saturday, then it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 12 minutes each time.
£4, thank you.
Like I said, it's just a confidence thing. It makes me feel better, feel healthier.
Do you want to follow me?
I just love having a tan so much, and because I've never actually seen the damage that it does, it doesn't really occur to me.
And she says she's too young to worry about the damage she's doing to her skin.
That doesn't bother me. Hopefully I'll be married and have kids by the time I've got wrinkles.
Well, she's about to get a reality check as I take her to get her skin analysed. By putting her face in a special photo booth, she'll be able to see the damage already caused by years on the sunbeds.
Hi, my name's Emma. I'm from Tracy Bell. I'm one of the laser therapists. Put your chin on here, okay, and keep the eyes closed so we can see here. See where the dark patches are? Like, that is what's underneath the skin. 20 years down the line, she's going to have pigmentation patches. Will be very wrinkled here, extremely wrinkled around the eye area, which is crazy for a tan.
I know,
it really is. So you're basically, you know, killing yourself to receive a tan.
I know.
Left you speechless.
It really has. It really has left me speechless. I'm so shocked at the damage and the stress that sunbeds and the sun has put my skin under. It's absolutely shocking.
A flag flies at half-mast here at Christchurch in Port Sunlight as hundreds line the streets to pay tribute to Corporal Stephen Boot from Birkenhead.
I just went and got them a rose. I know it's not much, but it's just to show, you know, that we are there and we are supporting them and we'll always be there.
A lone piper played as his coffin, draped in a Union Jack, was carried into the church, while outside speakers relayed the service, celebrating his life.
From the moment I met Steve, I was struck by the passion, love and energy he had for life, and the enthusiasm he had to share this with everyone he met.
This is Fallen Heroes on Real Radio.
Just tell us how you found out about what happened to Terry.
I was at home, and Julie, Terry's mum, rang me up and initially told me that she'd had the MOD round and that he'd been shot. And then later on in that night, Julie phoned me to tell me the news that he'd gone. Everything goes through your head, sorry. Everything goes through your head that it can't be Terry. That they're going to ring up and tell us, sorry, it was a mistake. It's not your Terry. And then you just pray that it's not and he's going to be fine. It just devastated us all. It just total shock, just devastated us all. You just don't believe it. You just don't believe it's true. You're just going into a state of limbo.
Well, as you can hear behind me, Beatlemania is definitely back here in Liverpool. This Beatles bus has been touring schools right across the city, bringing the magic of the Fab Four to a whole new generation here.
I like them because they're scousers. I like the air club. I like the music.
I like the hair.
I like the yellow saloon.
Katie Collins, Real Radio Northwest.